Presbyterian Church on this Fusion Sunday. We have a great worship opportunity this morning as we hear from the mission team that has returned from Jamaica. So they will be leading worship, and a little bit more about that in just a moment. But I also would invite you to the second hour in the adult lounge following worship. You get a lot more of the outtake pictures and stories. So join us to hear more about that. And here on this Fusion Sunday, we do our best to create an intergenerational worship opportunity for all persons. And so that is a reminder for those of us worshiping with our younger worshipers to make sure that they feel included, make sure that they have their own bulletin and are holding the hymnal so that they can see it, and pass that offering plate as well so they have an opportunity to share their gifts. And also, the hospitality registers are in your pew. Great chance for us to be able to greet one another by name, so make sure you are filling those out. And we have a few other announcements as we get started this morning. Roy.
As we look forward to celebrating Easter here at Gates Presbyterian, there is an opportunity for anyone and everyone to sing with our choir. We'd like a huge choir for a cantata we're putting together, Alleluia Through the Ages, the week after Easter. That'll be Sunday, April 3rd. You can come and join us. Any of our Sunday morning rehearsals, we'll be rehearsing the cantata from about 9 a.m. onwards. There will also be a few additional opportunities. Happy to speak with anyone who'd be interested in joining us on a short-term basis for the April 3rd cantata. Also, as long as most of you are within my range of vision here, youth choir between break and Jamaica. We haven't seen a lot of each other. Next week, 9:30, and then we'll be singing on March 13th.
Wonderful. Keith.
Good morning. Over the years, we've experienced some really awesome hospitality at various churches that we sleep in and eat in. Well, we get a chance here to pay back a little bit. 2 weeks from today, on March 13th, a group of college students from Northern Iowa University will be here to spend one night on their mission trip. We're going to serve them dinner that evening. So Sunday, March 13th, 2 weeks from today, there's a sign-up sheet in the kiosk. We'll need people to help cook in the afternoon, serve during dinner time, and provide baked goods as well. Okay? Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy.
Good morning. I'm your new spiritual gifts coordinator, and one of my things I get to do is the new time and talent survey, which has been revamped a little bit to reflect our new governance. And we're going to have a big launch next week. We're going to have some stuff out in the narthex. You can come and grab a form and fill it out. As you know, it takes many, many talents to keep our church rolling. Whether you mow the lawn, whether you cook, whether you drive, whether you visit folks that are in the hospital, whether you like to organize events, whether you're a babysitter, whatever it is that you do, your talents are so important to share here at our church. So I am looking for three really wonderful people to help me with this launch event, which is next week. And if you can't wait to join me, please meet me in the narthex after church. Our goal this year is to have at least 200 completed surveys. So let's go. Woo!
Thank you. Gary.
Good morning.
Good morning.
After today, there's two Sundays left to sign up for the Amherst hockey game on the 20th of March. Just an FYI to everyone, we're also extending our invitation to Laurelton United Presbyterian Church, so it may be a good time to see some of the people that we're kind of conjoined with through Katie. That'll be a great time. Come and join us. It's always fun, and I guarantee it will not snow inside Blue Cross Arena.
Wonderful. So, friends, our Lenten theme this year is Welcome Home. And it is such a joy to have the opportunity to share at the beginning of worship a little bit about our mission, partnerships and relationships, and where we have gone and experienced God's presence and that feeling of welcome home throughout the world. And so, yes, the next part of the house is up. And this morning, I'm going to begin by sharing a little bit about how Gates Presbyterian Church over the years has experienced hospitality and God's welcome in Jamaica. Because the history of our congregation in Jamaica reaches all the way back to the late 1980s, when members from this church traveled with members of the presbytery to aid in cleanup and rebuilding following Hurricane Gilbert. And then in 2001, GPC sent our very first senior high school group with the then associate pastor, Carol Ann Strawbridge, where they began work with the Santoy Church. Over the next few years, the relationship grew with the Santoy Church and then expanded to the two other churches in that charge. It's a three-point charge, so that means three small churches all share the same pastor and also lay leadership. And so along with the Santoy Church, there's the Negril Congregation and the Green Island Congregation. And then the pastor there was the Reverend Margaret Fowler. So our relationships and work intertwined with the mission of these three churches. Reverend Fowler and the Negril Church also began their mission called the Theodora Project, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to empower young people who are at risk of being exploited in human trafficking and the commercial sex trade. Theodora Project offers opportunities for education, skills training, and personal development. Now, in the Green Island congregation, attached to the church is a basic school, or a preschool, for all-day education opportunities for ages 3, 4, and 5. In 2013, many of you all will remember that we were able to celebrate with the Green Island Church and the Basic School the completion of an expansion to the school that GPC spent 6 years supporting. Following Reverend Fowler's departure at the churches, we've had the opportunity to form a relationship with the new pastor, the Reverend Kimberly Hines, who braved the cold and visited with us, if you remember, for a week in November of last year. Over these years, our youth and advisors, young adults, and adult mission teams have gotten to know the pastors, congregations, and teachers in these communities. We've worshiped in all three churches and received amazing hospitality. What an amazing gift it is to hear the stories of the youth at the Theodora Project and, of course, to blow bubbles with the children at the basic school. Many of our hands have held paintbrushes, shovels, hammers. And because of your commitment to this long-term mission partnership, we've had the opportunity to learn about and participate in the kingdom of God in this amazing part of the world for the past 15 years. So thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who have provided prayers and financial gifts. Your support of this partnership continues to transform the lives of those living in Jamaica, and possibly even more so, the lives of all of the people from GPC who have an opportunity to learn to be faithful global citizens and disciples of Jesus Christ in the world today. Reverend Hines said it very well in our trip this past week when she said, "You know, Melissa, this is more than mission work. This is four congregations who are together one church, bringing about the kingdom of God in the world."
Indeed. We are at a place now where we are one church in four different locations serving God. So again, thank you. And I know that you will hear the ways in which God's presence was with us in Jamaica this year. So now, let us continue our time of worship.
For the call to worship. In every one of us, there is a longing for home.
There's a longing for a place where we are known, accepted, and loved where we are.
It's a longing for a place where we are nurtured, guided, and challenged to become more than we are. God calls to us, "You can come home now. There is a home for you in my forgiving love. There is a home for you in my living word. There is a home for you in my world with the fellowship of my servant people." And our hearts respond, "We are coming. Open the door wide. We are coming home." Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. O Lord, we want to come home again to you, but aren't sure how to get there. You become human like us, and you know what it feels like to be welcomed, loved, and to feel all alone. And yet still too often, we think we are alone in our struggles. We think there is no one who will open a door and welcome us home. Forgive us when we do not turn to you, and remind us that you are the home we long to find.
Reach out and touch someone with your right hand. Come on, everybody. All right, there we go. Reach out and touch someone else with your left hand. This is hard for you guys, I understand. Know that each of these people has felt far from home. Know that we are all welcomed by God's love in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Children, could the children come forward, please? Thank you, Graham. Cracking knees. Okay.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tammy, for those of you that don't know me, and I went to Jamaica for the first time this year. And this is?
My name is Beth. I was there, too.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk to you about something in Jamaica that maybe you haven't thought of. When you think of Jamaica, what do you think of? Do you think of warm weather? Sunshine? Yeah. Palm trees? Pretty beaches? Well, all those things are there, but there are some other things in Jamaica, too, and I'm going to show you some photos here. Right. One of the other things we found in Jamaica were lots and lots of different kinds of doors, and you might think, what does that have anything to do with Jamaica or the trip? And we're going to share that with you. So this is a picture here of what? It's a car, right, it's a van, and this van is one of the first doors we went through. The door actually we used was on the other side because the steering wheel is different. It's very confusing at first. But when we went into that van for the very first time for some of us, there was a driver there, and his name is Lloyd. And Lloyd knows GPC because he's driven people from GPC for a long time. So Beth, what did you think when you first saw Lloyd?
I thought he was like a welcome home.
Yeah, because he gets us around every place safely, and he is always very kind, and he shares so much information about Jamaica. So within a couple days, we all felt like we had known Lloyd forever. So getting in the car was one of the doors that we went through. Okay, let me show you another picture here. On Sunday, when we were there, we went to two churches, and Melissa already mentioned them. So this is a picture of the door at the church on Green Island. and we attended worship there. And then this is a church at Negril, and you can see the doorway there as well. And when we went through those doors, we also felt welcome home. There were people there who had known people from GPC before. They hugged us. What else did they do, Beth?
They were singing, and they came up and were just so happy to see us, such huge smiles on their faces. Now, when we went to Green Island, they weren't actually in process of worship, but when we did go to Negril, they were already in process of worship. So just think what it would be like if someone just walked through the door right now while we're in the process of worship and talking, and they all just looked at us and smiled, and it was very welcoming.
And again, the singing that Beth mentioned and sharing the word of God, all those things are just like what we do here at GPC. So in a short time, again, even though we were in different churches, we felt like we were welcomed home. Okay, another important door that we saw in Jamaica. I wish I was better with my iPad. Here's a door. You can't see it very well, but this is the doorway to the Theodora Project. And we did some work there our first couple days. And when we walked in through the doors there, it was a new place for us because even Melissa and Beth hadn't been there before. But when we walked in there, we realized that it was a school. It's where older teenagers and young adults learn skills so that they can get jobs. And then we also met some young people who helped us with the painting. And we're going to talk more about them as we go on through our service. And we met these young men, and you know what was really cool was, at first I thought, I'm a lot older than them. What am I going to talk to them about? But then we talked about music, and we talked about the Super Bowl, and we talked about Facebook, and we talked about all those things that all of us know and share in common. And it was, again, a way to feel at home, because really, we share so many things with people around the world. And it was great. When we went back the second day, again, we felt like we were coming home and we'd been there all along. Oh, here's another door. Oh, there's Beth, right in the middle. And the doorway's open here. Oops. This is the door to the thatch hut where we stayed. And this was literally our home because we had a place to rest at night, a place to get together and do our devotions and to laugh with each other and get to know each other better. And again, this very quickly began to feel like home. And then another door. This is the basic school. And you can see the children lined up outside the door. Very similar to school here. Now, we might not have known all those children's names, but you know what? They ran up to us and hugged us and couldn't wait to talk to us and share with us. And we couldn't wait to talk and share with them. And since we've supported this school for so long, it was really exciting for me to get to see it for real. And again, it was another way where we felt like we were at home. Okay? So, let's have a prayer.
Okay. Repeat after me. Thank you, God, for giving us doors, to celebrate, life with all people in all different places of the world. Amen.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. The reading of the word is a paraphrase of Luke chapter 15. Then Jesus said, "There were once parents who had two daughters. The younger said to her parents, 'Parental figures, I want right now whatever you plan to leave me in your will.' So the parents divided the family business between the siblings. It wasn't long before the younger daughter packed her bags and left for a distant country. There, she wasted everything she had, making self-indulgent and not very healthy choices. After she had gone through all her parents' money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and those bad choices really caught up with her. Eventually, she found someone who hired her to slop the pigs. She was so hungry, she would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop. No one was willing to provide food for the girl, who was a stranger in this land. Eventually, it occurred to her, and she said out loud, 'All those people working for my parents eat three meals a day, and here I am, starving to death. I'm going home. I'll admit to my parents that I messed up. I did wrong against God and you. I know I don't deserve to be called your daughter. Instead, treat me like one of your employees.' She got right up, covered in pig slop, and went home to her parents. When she was still a long way off down the road, her parents saw her coming. Hearts pounding, they ran out, embraced her, and kissed her."
The daughter started her speech. "I know I messed up. I did wrong against you and God, and I don't deserve to be called your daughter ever again." But her parents weren't listening. They were calling to their employees, "Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and get her cleaned up. Put grandma's pearls around her neck and some decent shoes on her feet." Then they called up to a caterer and ordered the best of the best. "We are going to have a party. We're going to have a wonderful time. Our daughter is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found." And they began to have a wonderful time. All this time, their older daughter was up in the office. When the day's work was done, she came down, and as she approached the house, she heard the music and dancing. Calling over one of the employees, she asked what was going on. They told her, "Your sister came home. Your parents have ordered a feast, because they have her home safe and sound." The older sister had a fit and refused to join in. Her parents came out and tried to talk to her, but she wouldn't listen. The older daughter said, "Look how many years I've stayed here committed to this family, never giving you one moment of grief. But have you ever thrown a party for me and my friends? Then this daughter of yours who has thrown away your money on all her bad choices shows up, and you go all out with a feast." Her parents said, "Daughter, you don't understand. You're with us all the time, and everything that is ours is yours. But this is a wonderful time, and we had to celebrate. This sister of yours was dead, and she's alive. She was lost, and she is found."
Good morning. My name is Jocelyn Pym. This past week, we traveled to the beautiful island of Jamaica, where we worked at the Theodora Project and the Green Island Basic School. As I began to unpack my piles of clothes, a new unsettling feeling I did not anticipate hit me: homesickness. How was I going to make it in 1 week without a cell phone, in an unfamiliar house that could hardly resemble a home, with all these new faces, in a new culture? After a good night's rest, the best French toast breakfast I have ever had, and a birthday song sang by the entire Green Island Basic School Church congregation, I soon forgot about the previous day's apprehension. I began to feel more at home on this foreign island. Just as I began to feel more at home, I met a new and frankly a little terrifying character, Boom Blast. He looked a little sketchy at first, honestly, but after I had a few conversations with him, I learned he was genuinely caring and was also a bit of a jokester. He always brought us a carefully selected fruit from his garden that all of us could try. As the week progressed, I started to feel some comfort in seeing him every day. As soon as I got more comfortable with Boom Blast, I remembered we would be heading to the basic school. How would I interact with those children? And it's still a new foreign country? I'm going to be so awkward with these new kids. My apprehension was once again thrown out the window as I was dragged and pulled around the schoolyard with children I'd never met before. This week was filled with many things I was nervous about. I realized that going outside of your comfort zone is what life is all about. Meeting these new people gave me a whole new outlook and made me grow as a person, spiritually and emotionally. I can find God's presence anywhere, even in the places that don't feel like home at first. It's safe to say that because of the people I met and the things I did, I found a place that was like home to me.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Nadia Ndolovsky, and I was fortunate enough to join these seven wonderful people on the 2016 Jamaica Mission Project. Our time there was filled with tons of new experiences, and one such experience was at the Theodora Project in Negril. The Theodora Project is run by the Negril United Church, and it offers a variety of skill training opportunities for young men and women, as well as a safe house for those who are escaping abuse and human trafficking. It was at the Skill Center where we met a few of the students who were almost finished with the program. Two of these students were named Stefano and Cheval. They were cousins, and they were information technology and housekeeping students who planned to open their own business after they completed the program. Listening to their stories made me feel like I was very fortunate to go to school here and have a proper education in the United States. So many of these students don't have the opportunity to complete all of their credits necessary for high school graduation, so they go on and have nowhere to go after high school. But Stefano and Cheval were lucky enough to have great parents and aunts to push them to find the Theodora Project. And after going there and hearing their story, it sounded more like a home to them than anything else. The way they interacted with other students who were there, it was almost like they were a family, brothers and sisters, working together. And I could see that by the second day of work at the Theodora Project, it was so much more than a training school and a safe house. It was a second chance for those who had been led astray, and it was a home for those who needed one. And I could tell that God was there guiding them, and each one of us, home.
Good morning, everyone. All right, so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Katie Oman. And I just wanted to start out by thanking, first of all, the wonderful advisors, especially Melissa, but also you all, the congregation, for helping us to make this trip possible year after year. And I'm going to start out by sharing a little fun fact about myself. I enjoy the little things in life, but, like, literally. So, like, small doors, you know, small shoes, small animals, and especially little spoons. They get me every time. I love them. But little moments make me happy, too. And there were so many little moments on this trip that were so significant to me. I hardly know where to begin. One such moment was when I was sanding paint off a wall at the Theodora School, and Nicardo, one of the boys from the school who had volunteered to help us, came over and knelt down next to me. This surprised me, as he had been fairly shy and distanced for the first few hours of work. As he inspected the wall, I made some comment jokingly about it looking rough, and he responded with, "No, no, it looks really good." Now, obviously, he was humoring me, because we were staring at a mess of half-sanded peeling paint. But, I mean, unless really good is something totally different in Jamaica that I just didn't know about, but I'm going to assume that it means about the same thing. This small gesture opened up a conversation and led to a rapidly formed friendship. And you can imagine my joy when he showed up shortly after with tiny bananas for us to try. Another incredible little moment I had was one shared with Brother Barbie, the wonderful man who helped us paint for our 4 days of work. I was a bit nervous to work with Barbie because I heard he was a very picky person about how jobs were done, and I was afraid I would do something wrong in his eyes. But once Melissa told us that Barbie was, quote, the Jamaican version of Ed Koons, I breathed a sigh of relief because I knew what I was walking into. I relied on my year as a youth trustee and prepared myself to learn from the handyman of Green Island himself. Like Ed Koons, Barbie knows the best, most effective, and most efficient way to get things done. When painting the basic school, we had to paint around the characters that had been added 2 years ago. And I called dibs on outlining the Dora the Explorer that Josh Binko had so lovingly painted. and I was taking great care in making sure I didn't ruin it. Barbie came over and tried to instruct me how to best paint around the character, but I explained to him my approach, and to my surprise, he said okay and walked away. This doesn't seem very significant unless you really know Barbie, and that doesn't usually happen, so I was really excited about it. The fact that he agreed to my logic was both a huge moment for me personally, but also a testament to the trust and relationship Barbie has with our group to listen to us and trust our judgment, with explanation, of course. But the greatest part about these little moments is that they represented our relationships with the people and congregations we worked with. My new friendship with Nicardo connects to our strengthened connection to the Church of Negril and the Theodora School. And my moment with Barbie is centered around a painting done by another member of our church on a school that was helped to build by another group from our church, on the grounds where the kids play on new swings so lovingly and kindly provided by our own Anne Marie and Osmond Sim. These little moments represent long-standing connections between our church and our fellow congregations, and I will forever treasure the fact that I was given the opportunity to see that faith and love in action.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Allison Tuttle, and I just wanted to thank everyone for helping us get through this week and the prayers that everyone has so lovingly provided for us. Jamaica wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to be. It was much greater. The people we met, the work we did, the smiles we shared, one smile in particular, though, continued with us our entire week in Jamaica, and that was the smile of Brother Barbie, spelled B-R-B-E-E, not B-R-B-I-E, like the doll. Brother Barbie was our painting mentor and was going into this mission project. I had very little experience painting, so I got corrected quite a bit by our little expert. It was quite often I heard the words, "Oh, no, 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 not like that, like this." And a few times I got the "What are you doing?" face. Beth does a great impression of that face. You'd have to ask her to mimic the face after worship. While at the Theodora Project, we were painting up in the safe house, and there was one wall that just wouldn't keep paint on it. After much sweat and hard work, we finally got paint on the wall, and it was time for Brother Barbie to come give us the okay that the job was complete. Now, Brother Barbie, being as picky as he was, we were worried he wouldn't be satisfied with our work, but when he got up to the safe house and stepped foot in the room, there was that one-of-a-kind smile. He was so happy with the work we had done, so happy that he gave us all a high-five stamp of approval. That high-five was the most gratifying feeling on the trip, and I felt God's presence right in front of me and in my heart. I couldn't help but smile.
Good morning. My name is Jennifer Hosma. As many of you know, my journey to Jamaica was quite unique. It started off with the realization at 1 in the morning, about an hour before I would have had to wake up, that I was too sick to go. I was absolutely devastated. Then, because of the hard work of so many people from GPC, I was able to go. So, I was faced with the seemingly impossible task of traveling internationally, alone. So, very early Monday morning, I was off. Being honest, when I got through the security of the Rochester airport, I was terrified. I didn't know which way to walk, and I had a perpetual fear that I was late and going to miss my plane. However, I got to JFK safely, but then I had to navigate JFK. I realized, perhaps later than I should, that I was walking in the wrong direction, so I had to turn around, and after a very long walk, I successfully found my gate. Then, being the responsible daughter that I am, I called my mother and was immediately asked, "What happened? What's wrong?" After soothing my now panicked mother, I boarded the plane and was off to Jamaica. When I landed Jamaica, I had to navigate customs and immigration. I was faced with many issues, like not having a pen to fill out the customs sheet, and despite having the detailed drawing of the airport given to me courtesy of the Hadleys, I still felt lost. However, I made it through the maze of the airport. And once I finally successfully located my suitcase, I went outside and started my search for Beth Molina. The immediate relief I felt when I saw her face was indescribable. It nearly brought me to tears. Throughout the week, the theme of devotions was home, and I felt the feeling of home when I saw her. All day, I was on edge and scared to travel alone, but the moment I saw her, I truly experienced the feeling of home. The last two work days, we went to the Green Island Basic School. The school was pretty small and was very open, so the doors weren't shut, and kids frequently escaped. When we got there, we could see all of them staring at us through the doorway, and we set up our stuff in the church right next to the school. When it was their time to play outside, I stepped out onto the porch and was immediately swarmed by kids. They were all 3 to 5 years old and absolutely adorable. When I crouched down to talk to some of them, they all started touching me. It was the strangest thing. They would just put their hands on my arms, and many of them hugged me. Then I stood up, and they all grabbed onto my arms and started pulling me in all sorts of directions. It was the most fun game they played. I had no less than 10 kids holding onto my hands at a time. Then we started painting shortly after they went inside. I had to trace around cartoon characters that were painted by seniors like me a few years ago. After lunch, we painted some more and sanded a suitcase. I played with some kids some more, and I pushed them on swings. Then it was time for the girls to play with my hair. It was probably the most pain my scalp had ever felt. They were all yanking it and twisting it and pulling it in all sorts of directions. It took me a very long time to brush it out. Then on the second day, we got into Lord's van and set out for a Green Island school again. When we got there, we experienced a sudden downpour, so our work was delayed. Jossie and I had to oil paint a door. Brother Barbie, the man who's overseeing us, had a lot of criticism, like usual. After lunch, it was time to do our stations with the little kids. Katie and I sang a caterpillar song with hand motions and traced the kids' hands. Then the kids loved it, and then we had a bubble party and sprayed them with water. After a little bit of that, some of the kids pulled me away to the swing sets again. They all wanted to be held. At one point, I had a kid on each hip and one on my back, and on top of that, pushing kids on the swing. I pushed as many kids as I could who were all screaming, "Push me!" And it was really hard to understand because the Jamaican kids didn't really speak English, but more of a language based off of English called Patois. But despite the language differences, they were all really fun. So that concluded the last day of work. But before I finish, I just want to thank each member of GPC who helped me get to Jamaica. The trip was an experience I will never forget, and I'm so thankful that I didn't have to miss out on it.
few tambourines and we would have been in Jamaica with that song. We gather together as a community in worship and we lift our prayers of joy and our prayers of concern to God and to one another. So please, if you have a prayer, raise your hand. Also, we welcome all children to also share their prayers this morning.
Lauren Henderberg, prayers for Evelyn as she goes through some more allergy testing this week. She's been dealing, and we've been dealing with allergy, unanswered allergy things for 2 months. So the different things that she has to go through in testing aren't always fun, and the medications she has to take aren't always pleasant. So prayers for her.
Courage. Prayers, Evelyn.
Allison Tuttle, continued prayers for Ben's dad. He got denied clinical trials at Johns Hopkins, so we are looking for more cancer research centers, but he is on disability, no longer working, and he isn't necessarily feeling great. So continued prayers for him and his family.
Continued prayers for Ben's dad. Over there.
Mary Beth McKenzie, I just want to say you guys are awesome. Mom is home, way ahead of schedule, so thanks for your prayers and support.
Welcome home.
Gary Dykes, it's been a while since I've said anything about my brother-in-law, Mike. He's still at Monroe Community Hospital. I did get a chance to see him this week. His mind, his brain wants to do everything. It's doing really good. His body is slower than he would like, for sure. And, you know, it's baby steps. But he's trying. He has a good attitude. I mean, little things to him are positive, even if it just means I can grab my roll off my tray now where he couldn't do it before. He's got a long road, and he's come a long way. Just continued prayers for him.
Continued prayers for Mike and the entire Frisch family.
I'd like to give thanks for all those good Presbyterian prayers. Joys are that my mother and my brother are both doing so much better. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Donna Schott, I have a prayer of joy. My dad yesterday at his Korean Veterans Group was awarded the Korean War Medal of Peace.
Thanks be to God. Congratulations. Let us continue our time of prayer. Also, as I'm seeing my piece of paper here, and reminder to be in prayer for Katie Steert, our associate pastor whose grandmother died this week. So continued prayers and cards for her. Let us pray. God of the lost, the least, and all who long for home, when we wander from your way and waste the gifts you have given us, we give you thanks that you always welcome us back home. This morning we hold in prayer our sister congregations in Negril and Green Island and Santoy for their pastor, the Reverend Kimberly Hines. We pray for the Green Island Basic School, their teachers and principal and students. For the faith women like Hyacinth who provide leadership to the school and to the churches. We pray for the Theodora Project, for the young women and men seeking a better life by gaining new skills and employment. We give thanks for the people that without them, this trip would not be the same. For Brother Barbie, and for Lloyd, for Jackson, and Boom Blast, for the hospitality of Somerset Village. We pray for all the people of Jamaica, for the new Prime Minister, Andrew Holmes, elected this week. May his work be supported as he sets out to create jobs in a nation that faces 38% unemployment, and improve education and health care for all Jamaicans. We pray for the ongoing relationship between GPC and the congregations in Jamaica. God, we give thanks for all those who committed their time, their energy, and their resources to traveling together. We give thanks for Jossie, Nadia, Katie, Allison, Jennifer, Tammy, and Beth, God, for an amazing opportunity to experience your presence in all the faces of those whom we met. And we pray for the ongoing relationship, oh God, between GPC and the churches in Jamaica. May we continue to learn from one another and help bring about the kingdom of God in all the world. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. As we share in the abundance of God's gifts that God has entrusted to us, and we turn back over to God, you have an opportunity to enjoy every night in Jamaica. We prayed and thought of our family here at GPC. We stayed with our Lenten theme of welcome home, as you heard. We read the story of the prodigal daughter, all eight women. How could it not be the prodigal daughter? And we also enjoyed this song. And please enjoy these images. And if you want to see a lot of them again, second hour.
Hold on to me as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road. And although this wave is stringing us along, just know you're not alone. I'm gonna make this place your home. Settle down, it'll all be clear. Don't pay no mind to the demons, they fill you with fear. The trouble in my drag you down.
bless these gifts, generous God, that they may be used to find your children, children who wander in hunger, children who long to come home. Through our gifts, may all who wander set off for home, and may we celebrate and rejoice in their homecoming. Amen.
Get everyone up. Friends, again, thank you for an amazing opportunity to experience God's welcome home in all corners of this world. And go out into that world. You have an opportunity to experience and share that welcome as well. In the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.